Let me open us in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for these amazing chapters in Genesis. Father, how you teach us about your abundant provision and obedience that go together, Lord. And I just lift this time to you, Father. I pray that I would decrease so that you can increase. And I pray for each heart here, Father, that they would just listen to your word and not just go away with more information, but that it would transform them and change their hearts. And we lift this time to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I love how when you're studying something, God is, you're thinking, this is so amazing that this week this happened. But really, he's in such charge of everything that he's not surprised at all. So this week, as I started a couple weeks ago, because I knew I was going to have a kind of a crazy week and was out of town, and I started reading about, I thought this story was about Abraham and his obedience, which it is, but as I looked at the surrounding chapters, it was so much about God's provision. And so I kind of saw that there were five little mini stories, and each one had to do with God's amazing provision. And in there is woven this beautiful story of Abraham's obedience. So the outline I have for you here is just that we have abundant provision when we have Isaac being born. We have physical provision when Ishmael was removed but also cared for in the desert. We have material provision with the treaty and the land. We have provision of this substitute sacrifice in the Isaac story of being laid on the altar. And we have future provision where Sarah dies and he gets the burial site. So anyway, so just, it's so amazing. We see God's divine providence and his provision, his faithfulness, and our response should be obedience. And so we're going to look at that today. Probably the favorite line from all these chapters is just that the Lord will provide. And that would be just our theme today. We'll see that nothing can give such deep, lasting satisfaction as the faithfulness of God as demonstrated in the fulfillment of his promises. And boy, did he keep his promises, didn't he? So exciting to read about. So our first section was on abundant provision, and I thought a great verse that goes with that is from Psalm 145. They celebrate your abundant goodness and sing joyfully of your righteousness. And in that, don't you know that's how Sarah felt when that baby was placed in her arms? How exciting that was. They had waited so long for the birth of Isaac. And we know that faith is a journey. And as we grow in our walk and in our journey, we see that in our lives too, that God fulfills his promises and that builds our faith. Now, the chapter starts out with Isaac's birth. And it says here, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah. And oh, wasn't he? I love the way that was written. He was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. I mean, what a beautiful picture of God's faithfulness and provision. We see, if we look back at Romans 9 that we studied last year, Isaac's birth was accomplishing God's purposes. And it says from Romans 9:7, nor because they are his descendants are they Abraham's children, meaning just anybody that was born of his bloodline. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And then from Isaac, we'll see in the future that we will get Jacob, and from that, the 12 tribes of Israel, and from that, we get our Messiah. So Isaac had a very specific place in our history, a very important place that couldn't be substituted with Ishmael and what they did with Hagar. So God keeps his promises, and we know that to be true, but sometimes we might question his timing. We know from the Psalms that 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by. So his timing isn't like our timing. So probably we may be able to understand promises, and we may believe them, but sometimes we might just kind of question the timing. And so I would ask you today, is there something that you're waiting on, something that you believe God has promised you, but that you're still waiting on his timing, a promise to be fulfilled? And just how are you doing with that? We see that God kept his promise for a son with Abraham and Sarah, and they were so overjoyed when he was born. Do you ever have that feeling when you look around? Maybe it's when you have a baby that hasn't been sleeping and then they are, and you're just like, oh, this is so beautiful. And for me, I can remember just recently, all my kids were home, my sweet daughter-in-law, and I just looked around the room thinking, it doesn't get better than this. This is it. This is, for me, this is it. And God, he will provide us those abundant provisions. Not always, because if it was always, we might not even recognize it. But those times when you just think, thank you, Lord, this is it. And so it's just a sweetness that God keeps his promises. And their joy would not have been nearly so great if there wasn't any waiting involved either. And so maybe you're waiting for something today, and you know that when God fulfills that promise, there'll be such a sweetness when he does it. We also see that Abraham obeyed, and we've seen him grow just in his faith and in his walk. As you know, first he's telling the kings that, or the Abimelech that this is my sister, and you know he's kind of growing. Now he's obeying. He gets his baby, he obeys him. They name him Isaac, and they circumcise him. It says that our scripture tells us that the child grew and was weaned. He was probably weaned about ages 3 to 5 back then. And then Ishmael was, I think, 14 when he was born. So by the time this child is weaned, Isaac is a man. And so he's probably Ishmael is a man, I'm sorry, probably between 17 and 20. And so it says here that Sarah reports to Abraham that Ishmael is mocking little baby Isaac. And you can imagine, you know, as a mom, how that is when you think somebody's making fun of your child or bothering your child or something like that. And back in Galatians, we see a corresponding verse that says, at that time, the son born according to the flesh, Ishmael, persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit, Isaac. And so we see back then that this was not unbelievable, because mocking, so this older child is mocking the baby, or the younger one. Mocking has been debated to mean anything from child's play, like no big deal, to even up to like ridicule or scorn, something like that. Persecuted, it says. So either way, the important thing is that Sarah perceived this to be a problem for her little child. And so she wanted that child to be removed and to be taken away. And so we move on to the next section of physical provision. We see here that God is actually providing physically by the removal of something. And I don't know if you've ever had that happen, but sometimes he will do that. He'll actually provide for you by taking something away. And so, but we also see that he continues to provide for Hagar and for Ishmael. We see Ishmael, who represents doing things our own way, and Abraham and Sarah helping God by using Hagar, giving her this son. But there are consequences when we do that, don't we? When there's consequences when we help out God, or when we don't completely trust him or his plan, his timing, or his care. Or maybe we have certain areas that we trust him in, but secretly we have areas that we really, really don't want him to touch. And I think we talked about that in our small groups today, where we said, you know, I totally trust you, but this area right here, I just would really like to hang right here and just don't touch that part. So on the contrary, we see that Isaac represents doing things God's way, waiting and trusting, not having the plan early, just having the plan as it's needed. We love that 5-year plan like we've talked about in the past. The thing about knowing God's way is that we know that it's best. We know that he loves us. We know that from the past that he is faithful, but sometimes we still have trouble trusting him. And we know from Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. So sometimes we still kind of question his plan or his method or his timing. I sometimes have the head knowledge that I know he will fulfill his promises, but I have that carrying out part that's just a little bit harder for me. And so we see that Sarah asks for Hagar and Ishmael to be sent away. And it's using some old law where this was not as unheard of as you would think it would be today. So Sarah wasn't so crazy about Ishmael, but Abraham loved him. I mean, it was from a disobedient act, but he still loved him. It was his child. And I just thought it was so sweet, because she asked for him to be sent away. And don't you know, he's just thinking, you got to be kidding. I mean, you know, I love this kid. But yet I know he's not the child of the promise. But it's so sweet, because in 21:12, God comes down and speaks directly to Abraham. And he says, but God said to him, do not be so stressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I thought, that is such a sweetness, such a compassion, such a tenderness of God to provide for him in this way, to get this message that it's okay to go ahead and send them off. And so Abraham's obedience here prepares him even for what we know is coming. So we send this one son off, but he still has Isaac, and we know what's coming here in a couple of verses. So I would just ask you, has God ever provided for you by taking something away? Because that's how he did for Abraham and for Sarah. He took Ishmael away. And I know, when I mentioned before, when my mom passed away, she got to the point in her health care that we weren't sure what we were going to do and how we were going to care for her, and the Lord took her home. And it was hard, but there was a sweetness there. The actual removing of something to provide in provision. And you know, usually you think of provision as give me something, but actually sometimes provision can look like taking something away, removing something. So Abraham, with God's blessing, was able to send them off. And he sent them with physical provision. So another way that God is providing physical provision. We saw that they got food and they got water. And so then when that runs out, though, you see that, now you know that Ishmael is like a grown-up, we talked about, right? So you're not taking a little bitty baby and sticking him under a tree. It says that she put him under a shrub and she went away so as not to have to watch him die. So Hagar, they go into the desert, they have the provisions run out, and now Hagar is just distraught. She doesn't know where she fits into this whole thing. And think about how hard that was for her, how difficult that was for her. And so she says she wept uncontrollably, that she sobbed. And I think we probably all have been in a situation of some that so sadness of where you're just sobbing. And she's just at the end of her rope. And I would ask you today, is there any area of your life that you're at the end of your rope? You know that God has promised something, or you believe his word, but you're just at the end of your rope. And that's, I think, where Hagar was. Do you have any kind of situation in your life where you feel helpless? And so let's see, what does Sarah do when she feels so hopeless? It says here that she cries out and she sobs. And the scripture tells us, I think it's interesting that God heard the boy crying. And so he tells Hagar, he tells Hagar to lift up the boy and take him by the hand, and then promises that he would take care of them and make them into a great nation. And it's just so sweet because you see that she cries out, God speaks, and then he shows her, hey, there's a well right there. And I thought, how many times that was already there? How many times do we feel at the end of our rope and we don't see any kind of provision around us, but when we look up and we cry out to God, he shows us a provision that he already had available. And that's such a cool story because he opened her eyes and let her see this well. And I just thought that is just provision at its finest. It's just so cool the way God, the well was already there and she just didn't see it. She's just crying out, sobbing. And then the Lord says, hey, it's already taken care of. And he does that in our life as well. So we see more provision, the physical provision. And then we see that chapter ends with he grew up, he became an archer, he got a wife from Egypt, and he's not out of the scope of his role, of what he should be like. So we move on to what I would call material provision. And I chose the verse from Corinthians about that. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things and all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. And so we see here that there's a treaty with Abraham and Abimelech. And scholars tell us that Abimelech was probably motivated to do a treaty with him because he could see God's blessing on Abraham's life. He could see that he was materially prospering. And so he thinks this is probably not a bad idea for him too. So Abraham's also happy to enter into a treaty, but he was smart. He took the opportunity to bring up the well thing. And so we see here that there's a peaceful covenant. There's peaceful existence. Again, provision of God, material provision of God. And the cool thing is, if you think about it, this unbeliever was able to look at a man of faith's life and be able to see that there was something special about him. There was a special blessing from God, and he wanted to have a covenant with him, to be in a peaceful relationship with him. And so as a believer, we too should be the peacemaker in a relationship. And Romans 12:18 tells us, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So as a believer, we are called to a higher level of trying to be a peacemaker, not to avoid conflict, but to have a life that is so clean that others are attracted to it. And we see also here that he plants a tree, the special tamarisk tree, that were long-lived and evergreen, and it just shows his determination to stay in that region, to stay and obey God, and to accept the promises that were given to him. And so now we see that he owns a small part of the land. He owns this well, and it gives Abraham, it just shows that he's going to permanently be in this part of the world. And so after so many delays and promises of land and descendants, finally we see a little bit of fulfillment here, okay? And so this treaty enabled Abraham to serve and worship God freely in the promised land and also secured his rights to the well and therefore permission to live in the land in peace. So we end with an almost happily ever after. It says he stayed in the land of the Philistines. He probably has Isaac and Sarah by his side. He's raising him. Apparently, it's a beautiful part of the world, and so it sounds like, you know, things are going well. They've waited all this time, they've been through all this, and now they're just raising their child. But, dun, 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 we come up to chapter 22, where we have this, what I call, substitutionary provision, okay? So another way that God is providing, but not in the way that you would have guessed. I love the verses from first Peter. He himself bore our sins. And so that this is substitutionary provision. Christ, taking our sins. And also that in first Peter, that the righteous for the unrighteous. We're the unrighteous and Christ was the righteous. So this part of scripture talks about Isaac and how there is a substitution there. So God gives Abraham a test and he tells him that he wants him to take his son, his only son, whom you love, and he wants him to do what? He wants him to sacrifice him. And we see that sometimes God gives us tests, doesn't it? And we maybe talked about in our small groups that temptation is not the same as a test. A test is given to deepen our faith in God and also to see ourselves that we have grown in our walk. And so a test is not a bad thing, but it's just sometimes it's hard to walk through. And so I love the way Abraham responded because he didn't rationalize, he didn't make excuses, he didn't delay, he did exactly what God said. He was told to go to Moriah, which is and sacrifice his child as a burnt offering. The Moriah was about 50 miles away, and it was the same mountain later that David builds an altar on, that Solomon builds his temple, and also Christ died. So it's amazing to think this piece of land, all the rich history there. And so after God gave him these directions, what did Abraham do? It says he got up early the next morning, and so I see here prompt obedience. And I know that many of y'all are raising children, and that's what you're aiming at, is this prompt obedience, to train them to do that. But I would ask you, how are you doing in your life? When God asks you to do something, are we tending to like, well, let me think about that. Let me pray about that. Let me ask a lot of people about that. When God calls you to do something, he also would love for us to be obedient promptly with him. We also read that it took 3 days to get there. And so we see also this sustained obedience. And I know in my life, I may think I'm going to be so obedient to eating healthy. And then by noon, I'm not doing so well. So then I think, okay, I'm going to start next Monday and do the same thing, even though it's only Wednesday. So anyway, just the sustained obedience, right? Because Monday's a better day to start, right? But the sustained obedience, I think sometimes that's hard. We want to, we want to be obedient, but it's just hard over time. And so we see it 3 days he had, you would think that he would be possibly trying to talk himself out, but he didn't. He didn't rationalize or make excuses. We see that Isaac carried his own wood. So if he was a teenager, that he could have stopped his dad or run away. And so I think we see here that Abraham demonstrates that faith obeys, but Isaac demonstrates that faith cooperates. I mean, he didn't have to be all in on this. I used to think of the story and I'd think, man, Isaac is going to need counseling in a big way. If his, say, my dad, he tried to tie me up. And I mean, I thought that was when he was younger and you think, tried to tie me up. He took this, knife, but really he was part of the equation. He also showed remarkable faith in all of this. And so we see this beautiful harmony between father and son. And you think, where else do you see this? Where else do you see a loving father walking his son up a hill, in perfect obedience, a substitutionary sacrifice, one thing for another. And of course we see that on the cross of Jesus Christ and the provision that God's demonstrate there. We also see that Abraham tells his servant, we will worship and we will come back. So Abraham had complete trust and faith in God that Isaac was not real. He was not really going to lose Isaac. He knew the promise. He knew that all the things about the stars, your descendants will be as number great as the number of stars and the grains of sand. And he knew all that, but yet he still heard what God was telling him to do. He knew how he was asking him to test him and he continued on. And so we see that he had complete confidence in God and that God could do it, but he didn't exactly know how. But he continued to walk in faith to find out. And we also see that he says that God himself will provide the lamb. That's what he tells his son. So it's such a sweetness there when he tells him the Lord will provide, and yet then the angel comes and stops him. What a huge blessing. But Abraham still, in his heart, he had completely sacrificed his son already. But what a sweetness of just the obedience there, because he had had this provision of God all through his life. He had seen God provide with the treaty. He had seen God provide the birth of his son in the first place. He had seen God provide for Hagar and Ishmael. He had seen God provide in so many ways that obedience was a natural response. I used to take this story out of context and go, man, it's amazing to think that Abraham would be able to, sacrifice his son. And it is, believe me, it is amazing. But you see this man of God who is abiding with the Lord and moving forward in his faith because God has provided for him in such abundant ways. Now we look at the life of Abraham and we see that every time Abraham made a sacrifice for God, God blessed him. We see that he left his homeland, God gave him a new one. We see that he left his extended family, God gave him a new family. He offered the best of his land to Lot, God gave him more land. He gave up the king of Sodom's reward, remember that a few weeks ago? God gave him more wealth. And then again, he was willing to give up Isaac, and God allowed him to live through this and gave him numerous seed. And so it's cool to see how the Lord, every time he asked a sacrifice of him and Abraham obeyed, God came back in and fulfilled him. So I would just ask you today, where is God asking you to trust him today? Is he trying to teach you something? That's sort of rhetorical. Of course he's trying to teach you something. He's trying to teach us all something. But what is he trying to teach you? Have you slowed down enough to try to figure out what that is? The faithful believer will surrender to God whatever he may ask, trusting God's promise of provision and blessing. And then our last little section turns to future provision. And I think this is so cool because God knows what we need before we even need it. He cares about our future. From Jeremiah, we know that it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And I think we see that right here. We see that Sarah dies and Abraham purchases land for her burial. And the significant thing about that is he doesn't just get the burial cave, he gets some land along it. So again, the puzzle of providing this land to Abraham is moving along, it's moving forward, and he sees that he's able to bury his wife in some of the land that will be their future and not returning to their old land. And so we see just how God provides by giving him the opportunity to buy this land. So we just look back and we see that there was abundant provision in the birth of Isaac. We see that God, they waited, and they waited not so well with the whole Hagar thing, but they did wait, and God provided, and the joy that they had in that. So abundant provision. We also see physical provision of just the peace treaty and the land and the water and God's long-term plan being woven together like a jigsaw puzzle, adding a piece here, adding a piece there. And we would love to have the whole plan right up front, but piece by piece by piece, he's getting the promised land. We also see the provision by removing something when they took Ishmael away and let him go live somewhere else. And so sometimes God does provide by removing something. And we also see more physical provision that God did provide for Hagar and Ishmael and their future. And then our next story was the amazing story of the substitute sacrifice, the ram in place of the son. And we see that again with Jesus Christ on the cross. And then finally, we see the future provision, the burial cave, again, getting a little bit of land because that's the land that God has promised him. So the near sacrifice of Isaac is the greatest act of divine provision, and it's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, taking our sin and paying for it with a perfect sacrifice. We deserve to pay the penalty, but God came in and let Jesus Christ do that for us. So we learned today that God does keep his promises. His provision is abundant. With God's faithfulness and provision, our obedience should be increased. So when we see how God has provided for us with that abundant joy or with material provision, or we see God providing for us by removing something, some sort of obstacle, we can see that our obedience should grow out of response for his love and provision for us. And so I would just ask you today that, you know, where is God asking you to trust him? Of course, Abraham completely surrendered. Of course, he wholeheartedly trusted God. Of course, he did exactly what God told him to, because God had provided for him in so many ways over so much time. And so, great story, some great truths. It's interesting to know about a tamarisk tree, or it's interesting to know that Mount Moriah was also the place of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. But really, what I want to ask and spend these last few minutes are like, so what does this have to do with me? It's great to have that head knowledge, and it's a very interesting story, great chapters, but now what? Now what about me? What does this have to do with me? And so I was so amazed at the provision part of this story that it wasn't just out of the blue, he's asking him to sacrifice his son. But I was focusing on the provision as I prepared for this, and I had several things in my life that God provided. I was driving down McKinney Avenue last Wednesday afternoon, and my car died, and it was started to kind of die like a few lights before, and I was praying, Lord, please let me get home, please let me get home. And he didn't provide for me in that way because the car did die. But two men did push me out of the way. So out of the way of all the other traffic. So he provided in that way. He provided that a tow truck could come get me after 5 o'clock. He provided that I had a friend or a sister that could come pick me up. So he did provide for me. And so it just, I was aware of that. There were many other, so then it needed a lot of work. And I mean, there were all these stories of how God provided. And I thought, that's so cool that God is providing for me this week while I'm studying provision. And then it hit me. I'm like, no, I'm being aware of God's provision this week because I'm studying about it. And it's not, he's doing this all the time. It's just this week I'm focusing on it. And so I would just like for you to think about, do you recognize the provision in your life? Have you been on waiting on something for a long, long time and maybe even given up? God has abundant life for you and he will keep his promises. But I would ask you, do you trust him? Do you believe that he's good? Do you believe that he loves you and wants his best for you? Or are you comparing yourself with others? I loved the illustration Kay gave, like, what's in your card? What hand have you been dealt? What hand have you been dealt? If you're looking around comparing, then you're not thinking about the provision that God has provided for you. You're thinking about the provision he's provided for her and her and her, and maybe it's not exactly like yours. And I'm guilty of that. I would also ask you, are you too busy to notice the provision? You don't have any margin in your life to even be thinking about how God has provided for you. Or are you distracted? That's been me also lately. Just distracted by the world and focused on it rather than focusing on the provision of God. So if you first don't take a moment to recognize, to pinpoint, to observe his provision and goodness, no wonder you have trouble with obedience. And I'm speaking to myself too. So when I live my life hurriedly, I'm trading good for best. I'm saying yes to everything. When I'm overbooking and under-worshiping, when I'm living in the flesh and not in the spirit, when I'm acting out of fear and not faith, if so, then I am unable to recognize God's provision, and then I'm unable to obey like I should. It is impossible to be fully focused on him when I'm fully focused on me and my circumstances. Am I looking inward like Hagar, or upward, and I'll see the well? So Abraham wasn't asked out of the blue to sacrifice his son. God had this amazing record of providing and proving himself worthy before he asked Abraham to do this. But I would ask you, do you recognize God's provision? We talked about, you know, are you comparing? Are you distracted? What's keeping you from recognizing God's provision? Because when you recognize it, you will be all the more able and willing to obey what he asks you to do. So I would also ask you, what's he asking you to obey him on? We had the great video there, but you know, it may be something big, it may be something you're struggling with obedience in the area of alcohol or purity, controlling your thought life, maybe gossip. There's all kind of ways that the Lord asks us to obey him. It may be something different that seems almost silly, but maybe a TV show that you know is not really the best for you, but you still continue to TiVo it and turn it on, DVR it. So if I really believe that he's the giver of good gifts and my complete and total provider, then why do I have trouble obeying what he asks? Do I think he's asking too much of me? And that's what it really boils down to. It's like, I believe you're providing for me, but I just really need to hold on to this one thing because it gives me so much pleasure. And so we don't want to rationalize. We want to be wholehearted, devoted followers of Christ and recognize his provision by not being too busy, by not being distracted, by focusing on him, and then obedience will be a natural response to that. And so I just end with a few, I just want to say one more thing, that the greatest substitution and the greatest provision that God has ever offered was done on the cross. And we know from 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Is that enough? Is that enough for you? Is it enough for me? It should be. His provision is perfect, and he has given us eternal life if we believe in the work of his son on the cross. So I would ask you today, let's look at a couple of questions. These are not rhetorical, things I really want you to think about. Do I really trust him? Think about that for a minute. In every area, not just some. Do I trust his timing? Do I really believe that he's got this under control? Do I recognize his provision? Or am I too busy or distracted to take notice? And finally, am I willing to obey in every area of my life as a result of his provision to me? Let me pray. Lord, I just thank you for these chapters, Father. I thank you how you provided for Abraham, and I thank you how you provide for me. Help me to recognize it every week and not just when I'm studying it. Lord, help me to obey you in every area of my life. And I just thank you for these women. Pray that we would be changed as a result of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.